You know, I guess the title for this message tonight is there's more than enough. There's more for you. In Philippians 3, verse 14, or 12 through 14. Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, I press on. I want you to notice that. Press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it or to have attained. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now here Paul is talking and he's saying that he doesn't see himself as reaching the goal yet. He doesn't see himself as it. He said, I believe that God has more for me. And he is pressing on or pursuing until he receives all that God has for him. We need to realize that thank God for what we've got, but we need to realize we need to press on for more. Because the Word of God tells us that we can have more. We have to believe that there is much more, much more, much more, much more. There's more we can receive than we've already had. You know, some people get, I don't know, they just sort of get the attitude, this is good enough. Well, that's not the attitude that we need to have with God. It's not good enough because he's got more. He said he wanted us to have an abundant supply. He's got more if we'll just go to get it. You know, there's always more to receive. Never settle for second best. Avoid the attitude of, this is good enough. It's never good enough. God always has more. Hello? Now, we need to thank God for what he has given us, and we need to continually to thank God for it, but we don't need to stop there. We need to realize that God has more. There is more for us. You know, many people start out well, but they don't finish well. Often it has to do with the way they think, and your thinking causes you to believe or not to believe. The way you think, you know, if you don't believe there's more for you, then you won't press on and you won't press in to get any more. The Israelites, when we look at them, they left Egypt, headed for the promised land. They believed that, we're going to the promised land. It's going to be great, man. It's great. They started out great. But when they got to the door of the promised land, all of a sudden they changed. Why did they change? Because the 10 spies came back and told them, hey, the promised land is really good, but we can't take it. We can't go there. And, you know, that's what a lot of people do. They talk about the Bible. Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. But then when you get right down on them to get them to start believing God, they say, I believe the Bible, but you don't know my situation. Well, your situation ain't got nothing to do with what the Bible says. If the Bible says it, that's it. Yes. Hello. You know, they let the giants keep them out of the promised land. You see, the Israelites no longer were motivated to go into the promised land. Because somebody told them, you can't do it. See, if people start telling you can't do something, then you lose your motivation to do it. Now, it works the opposite with me. Don't tell me I can't do something. I'll tell you to hide and watch. My coaches, when I was playing ball in high school, they figured this out about me. And they would motivate me by telling me that I couldn't that I couldn't do it. I did, you know, they say, now, hey, listen, you go out there and just run your patterns, try to pull that safety over there out of the way, because he's an all-stater, and you're not going to catch any passes on him tonight. And they knew what they were doing, and I just gritted my teeth, and I was like, I'll show you. Don't tell me I can't. Actually, see, the devil's the one that keeps telling you you can't have this promise, or you can't get to this, or you can't get that. But God's telling you can have it. He's saying right here, you can have it. There's more. There's more than what you have. You know, some people just, they get to a certain point, and that's as far as they ever go with God. Have you ever seen people like that? Anybody ever seen people like that? They start out, and they go, and that's as far as they ever go. I tell you what, I'm with Paul. I want to press on to all that God has for me. I just don't want to stop short. You know, you got, if you continue to believe God has more for you, you will continue to press forward. You know, in athletics, and you have, you know, this morning, Brother Bill Wright, one of our associates over there, his son, John Paul, is on scholarship at one of the college up in Kansas, and he was in church this morning. Just because he worked hard in high school and got a scholarship and is on the golf team, he hadn't stopped swinging a golf club. If he's not in a tournament playing, he's out there swinging that golf club. Why? Because he knows there's more than what he's accomplished so far. He's grateful for what he's accomplished, but there's more. And all of us need to be grateful for what we've accomplished in God, but we need to realize that God has an abundant more supply for us. Amen. He has more for us than we've experienced up until this present time. You know, some people don't understand this, but there's a bunch of scriptures, but just let me use a few of scriptures here. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hello? See, he wants us to enter into his abundance. Psalms 37:3-4, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. One translation says added to you. Now I want you to notice, read the scripture in front of before 33. It's talking about houses, food, land, so forth and so on. Wasn't it? Anybody ever read them up there? Isn't that what he's talking about? He said, you're not even going to have to believe for them. The abundance will come to you if you'll seek the kingdom first. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life. And I like this NIV verse, have it to the full. Have an abundance. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became so poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That word rich there, if you look it up, it means, it doesn't mean what some of us think. It means a plentiful supply. A plentiful supply. My God's 4:19 Philippians, my God supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And 3 John 2:2. There's no use to give the chapter because there's only one chapter. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul does prosper. Now I like the NLT version here. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you're healthy in body as you are strong in your spirit. Now, all of these scriptures are talking about us having abundance, having a good, a good life, in other words. And God wants us to do that. You know, we just had some good food in there. And my grandmother, my mom's mom, she loved to cook. And she always had a big crowd over, especially on Sunday. She'd have a big crowd over at the farmhouse, and you know, and or even if it was just the family over there, anytime. I mean, she'd cook, and there'd always be at least two meats, chicken and pork, usually chicken and the pork chops, usually that we'd have that, because Grandpa had a couple of, he raised some pigs as well as farm. And then we just wouldn't have one or two. I mean, we have about four or five different kind of vegetables. We'd have corn, and she'd always had mashed potatoes usually. And then we'd have some greens and maybe some peas. Just plenty. And especially her homemade biscuits, you know, and big ones, about that round and real thick like that. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Them homemade biscuits, you know. They didn't come out of a can. She made them herself, you know. That might crack. Hey, y'all can laugh at him about this. He likes biscuits and gravy that Nanette's mom, my mother-in-law, used to make. And so him and one of his buddies drove down. That's when they were still pastoring down in the Dallas area. And they drove down there, and so they were eating. This one, he's a little boy. But he would tell her, after he got older, he would tell her this. And so she decided, he's a little boy when he did this, and he decided that she was going to fix him biscuits and gravy, but she made the biscuits. And he asked her, he said, "Well, Grandmother, don't you have?
Did you run out of those canned biscuits?
Yeah, did you run out of those canned biscuits?"
She was out of practice.
He didn't like them. And so every time that he would go, even when he got older, he'd drive down there as a teenager. He used to go down and see his grandparents drive down. He'd always tell the grandmother, "When you get the biscuits and gravy, I want the canned biscuits." But that's another side story. You can ask him about it. Maybe he'll remember it. I don't know. But, you know, we'd be passing the dish around, and you could see that it was just about empty. Or maybe there wasn't but one or two pork chops left. And so you didn't know, you sort of hesitated because you thought maybe somebody else would want one. And she said, "Go ahead, take it all. There's more where that came from." She always had, she'd set the table, but she has always had more in the kitchen. Hey, that's the way God is. Go ahead, take everything he's got, because there's more where that came from. You can't take all the supply. God's supply never runs out. We need to realize that he has more of everything that you need. He has more healing. He has more spiritual blessings. He has more material things. It's all there. He has more.
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor, say more.
More.
Now, you know, some people get focusing on the material things, and something goes bad and they lose some things, and now they don't know what to do. Remember, if you lose some things in the material area, if you hang on to your faith in God, you can be restored. You know? Now, some people, when things bad happen to them and they lose some stuff, they start blaming God. Well, you can't blame God. He's not the one in charge of this world. The devil, 2 Corinthians 4:4 said the devil's the god of this world. He's the one causing the problem. You know, don't blame God. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, you know, if you lose everything, don't be dismayed. If you still got your faith in God, you can get back, get it all back, plus more.
Yes.
And somebody said, "Now, why are you saying that?" Well, look at Job in the Bible. And everybody will say, "Oh, poor old Job." Hey, Job, the whole book of Job only took place in about a 9-month period of time, something like that. But now go, everybody zeroes in on all the problems. But go look at the end of it. It said in the end, he restored all that he lost plus more. Doesn't it say that over there? Yeah. Hey, see, that the devil may come in and try to destroy you, but if you keep your faith in God and keep believing, you can come back to where you were, and then he's got more. He'll bless you with more. God wants you to believe that he has more for you.
Yes, amen.
He wants you to get the more blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to get the more blessing.
You need to get the more blessing.
Yeah. Now, you know, and I'm going through this a little quick, you know, tonight because we've been here since 4:30, so I'm mad at people wanting to go home, so I'm not going to keep you all night. All right? But, you know, if you look in Luke 5, 3 through 7, you find that Jesus was teaching the people, and they were pressing down on him until his feet was in the edge of the water. So he got in the boat and went out a little bit from the shore and talked to people. Now, when he finished teaching the people, he told Peter, he said, hey, go out there in the deep. Because, I mean, they're right there by the shore. They're in the shallow part. Ain't a lot of fish usually in the shallow part, especially if you got a net. You know, I mean, you might get a few minnows or something, but that'd be about it. Maybe a few sunfish. And maybe one of the other kind of fish that just happened to be swimming up there. But you go, if you want, you know, you go where people are commercial fishermen. Remember, Peter was a commercial fisherman. That's the way he made his living. He went out and he caught the fish and he brought them back in and sold them on the marketplace there on the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum was right there on the Sea of Galilee. It was just there in June. Now, he told him, hey, go out there and let your net down in the deep. Launch out into the deep. Go out into the deep and let your net out. Now, here is a preacher telling the fishermen what to do. Now, Peter could have said, now, wait a minute. I've been fishing all my life. This is the middle of the day. This is not when you go out and catch the fish. I got any fishermen in here? Any people go fishing? You go out early in the morning and then late in the evening to fish. Isn't that correct? That's when they biting. They usually don't bite. They usually don't bite during the day, you know. I mean, they. But, hey, now here it is. It's the wrong time. They fished at night. It's the wrong time. But he said, Jesus, we did, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it. We fished all night. We didn't get anything. But Jesus said to him, launch out in the deep, let your net down for a catch. Now, I want you to notice that when he did what Jesus told him to do, not only did he get a net-breaking boat full, he had to call his buddy off of the shore and say, hey, come on out here. Because not only did they fill up Peter's boat, they filled up the other boat too. See, that's a more blessing. Hello? That's a more blessing. Not only did he fill his boat, but he filled up another boat too. See, if you'll believe God's word and do what he tells you to do, there is an abundant supply.
Yes, amen.
Now, what is the secret to tapping into the abundant supply? We can learn it from Peter. First of all, he heard what Jesus said. We've got to hear what the word of God said, either by somebody preaching it to us or it's reading it itself. See, when it's talking about hearing, come by the word, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, either you're reading it yourself or somebody's teaching it to you. See here, so we must hear that God has a promise of abundance for every situation that we're in. So we got to hear. That's first, you got to hear. Secondly, you got to believe what he says. See, we got to believe God's word when he says that he has more than enough for us. I mean, you know, all the names in the Old Testament had meanings. One of the names of God is El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Not just enough, more than enough. And Paul said, we are more than conquerors. It's not conquerors, more than conquerors. Don't you notice that? It's the more.
Yes.
God's word has more than we've ever tapped into yet.
Yes.
Come on. Don't look at me like that. Grab a hold of this. Hey, God has more for us.
Yes.
Now, secondly, Peter declared, okay, if you say so, here we go, boys, let's go. Now, Can you imagine all the guys that worked for Peter on the boat? Said, Peter, what is the matter with you? But they didn't. He said, Peter said, come on, let's go. He declared. See, we've got to declare that we will take God as his word and do what he says. Yes. He declared, okay, nevertheless, okay, I didn't catch anything. I was out there all night. Again, but if you say so, come on, let's go, guys. That's what we got. We can be in the middle of our storm. The middle of everything going wrong. And we read what the word of God has to say. Okay, come on, let's go. Declare it. Declare what God said. Yes, always say what God said. And now they went out. They went out into the deep water. See, we've got to press forward to get the promise of abundance that God has for us. So, did you get a hold of that? You got to hear it. The word of God. You got to believe it. You got to declare it. And then you got to go out and press in to get it. Now, the devil will block you every step of the way. So you got, see, that's why Paul said, I press. That means he put out some, actually, if you've studied that, that means exerting strenuous effort. He pressed. When you press against something, you're exerting, I'm pressing against this table right here. I'm exerting some effort. Right? See, he said, I press. He is exerting some effort. We are going to have to press against the enemy that is coming in to destroy us, keeping us from receiving what God has for us. If we'll press in and decide to believe God, we'll begin to see the blessings of God come into our lives, and we will realize that he has more than enough for us. More than enough.
Yes.
You know, just because he blessed you one time, he's got more.
Yes.
Just because he healed you one time doesn't mean he's got more healing.
Yes.
He never runs out.
Yes.
It never runs up. The blessings of God never run out. You never exhaust the blessings of God. You never can come to the end of the blessings of God. The only way you can come to the end of the blessings of God is when you quit pressing in to take them into your life and make them become a reality. That's the only time that the blessings, that you exhaust the blessing, and actually you don't exhaust the blessing, you just stop it yourself. You stop your own self.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, I was watching football yesterday, and I'm sure some of you did too. And one of the coaches, his team was losing. And they asked him, well, what are you going to have to do to turn this around? He said, stop beating ourselves. Said we, and he said, and they did. He said, we got more yardage. We're playing better than they are, but we're beating ourselves because of mistakes. See, what I'm saying to you tonight, God has more than you've gotten so far, but if you're not pressing in, you're beating yourself out of the blessing. Don't beat yourself out of the blessing. The blessing wants to come to you. God has more than you've ever experienced before. And if you'll believe his word and walk in my light, he says, I will lead you and I will guide you, and you'll see that there's more than you even thought was possible. And you will find yourself in a state of ecstasy as you shout and jump and praise God, because there's more, there's more, there's more, says the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now that's a little something that the Holy Spirit brought to me, so I just gave it to you. Stand up, raise your hands, and thank God, because there is more than you've experienced before. There's more than you've experienced before. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Don't settle for second best. You know what? Nobody remembers who got second place. Did any of you watch the past Summer Olympics? Anybody watch the past Summer Olympics? If you watched it, you can probably tell me who won the 100-meter dash. Yes, I heard somebody say it, Usain Bolt. Who got second? My point is, hey, be with God. Always be up there, be first. See, get all the blessing. Amen. Nobody remembers second place. If you're not first, you're last. Amen. Hallelujah. How many get what I'm talking about? Glory to God. There's more. God always has more. I don't care how much blessing you get, He always has more. He always has more blessing. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to preach that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or somebody to rededicate their life to God, or somebody that might have gone to church all their life, and even now as adults they go to church, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I've run into people like that. They say, man, I've been going to church all my life. My parents took me to church, and I've been going all my life, but I don't know whether I've ever really accepted Christ or not. If you're here on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you right now. Let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. We believe in receiving the Holy Spirit around here according to what the Bible says, not according to what church creed or doctrine, but the Bible. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Anybody here tonight want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Thank God. Raise your hands and thank God that we're all saved tonight, and everybody in here is saved. Hallelujah. Thank God for your salvation. Thank God for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, does anybody want prayer for healing? We'll be glad to pray for you for healing. If you want prayer for healing, come to the front right now. We'll pray for it. We lay hands on you. It says they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So just come down here now. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Come on.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Anybody need healing, just come on down here right now.
Yes.
Just stand here in line. If you need healing, just get in line. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, congregation, reach your hands out toward them right now as we get ready to pray.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father,
in the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing right now. Power of God's going in this body to effect a healing and a cure. Thank you for healing power. The healing power flows into this body right now. Thank you for healing power. Healing power flows in Jesus' name. The healing power of God flows into this body to correct everything that's wrong in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for completeness and wholeness of the healing power of God.
I want prayer for my cousin Leo. He's been in constant pain for over a year.
We're praying now for, he's standing in for his cousin. Father, I thank you that Leo, there's no distance in prayer. I thank you now that as we lay our hands on Carl, that the power of God will flow there to Leo. Drive out that pain in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Raise your hands and thank God for the healing power of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory. Well, hallelujah. Thank you for being here tonight. I trust everybody got full. I don't know whether there's any stuff left out there. Melinda's saying this. There's some stuff left out there. So go out there and get some more and have fellowship before you leave tonight. Remember, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Jane is saying, be sure you get your dishes and take them home if unless you brought one of them that's, the disposable. Yeah, that's it. If you brought a disposable, then you don't need to take it home unless you want to. All right? Praise God. First time guest?
Yes.
All right, who's going to take them? We got a special gift for you. If you're a first time guest, raise your hand so Jane know who you are. All right, she wants to take you to connect. We call it Connection Place, and we got a special gift just to give to you. We thank you for being with us. Don't let this be your last time. Come on back here and just join up with us and be here every Sunday night. Enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night. They started Saturday night services so you didn't have to go on Sunday morning. We start Sunday night so you can have all the weekend off and then you come and enjoy it. Hallelujah. I'm going to one door. She's going to the other. We'll shake your hands. You go out. Don't forget, go out there. There's still some food and stuff out there. And have some food before you go home. God bless.